Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hello and welcome to The Windsor Knot, a royal wedding podcast. And this week I'm joined by Daniel Krupa.
Hello.
I was going to introduce what the episode was and then
very
I realised
I
introduced you.
So it sounded, introduce me, no.
So then it sounded like you were a guest, but a guest that's been on every single episode for the first 11.
I'm a recurring guest. I'm a very good guest.
11 episodes we've
Blimey.
Done this. Well, we will have done by the next 45 to an hour. This week we're covering The Madge Herself. Queen.
Liz.
Big Liz. Ruling on high from her ivory tower, looking down at her little grandkids. I don't feel that strongly about the Queen. I don't know why, why I've gone in so hard.
Hopefully you will after this episode.
Yeah, but which way? That's for you to decide. Because we're not fucking making any judgments. We're impartial to the point where you'll be annoyed about it. Liz... Basically, she's a big deal. She has nothing to do with the wedding, but everything to do with the wedding, which I think is...
Which is like Don Corleone.
It's very much how you'd expect a modern monarch to be. Mm. Like, she's deeply invested, but has no real power, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
In looking her up, because obviously she's sort of tangential, but so much of the coverage has been about her. Every time we've gone looking for stories, you always come across...
You know why, Joe? She's box office.
She is box office. She's the big ticket. She's the and also starring at the end of the the end of the
show. She's
trailer.
The and credit. She's the Chris Pratt on the Avengers poster.
She is.
And the Queen.
She is the Star-Lord of my heart, I would say. The recurring theme with this wedding, as with so much of it, with its weirdly... This, like, odd bipolar media coverage of this wedding has been that she loves that Harry's getting married, but she's disappointed with Meghan in some way. That's the constant...
In a non-racist way.
Well, hopefully. But the point is that the tabloids love that narrative. They love the idea that she's like, oh, little ginger prince, he's lovely, but I'm not sure about his bit of... Crumpet.
Okay, so can I just, because we haven't rehearsed this, surprisingly, is that the Queen voice that we're doing in this podcast?
Yeah.
Because, like, well, cause it might happen a few times during the course of this episode. I want to know where we are with Queen voice.
Basically, I'm trying to steer away from the Adam Buxton Queen
which
voice.
Which is very good.
Which is the definitive Queen voice.
Oh, lovely, lovely Queen.
Blandadetta! We can't do that.
If anyone doesn't know what that is, there's a British comedian who does a very good podcast called Adam Buxton, and occasionally he does... The Queen?
Yeah. The most successful clip that I've ever uploaded on YouTube is just them doing that for the first time. Because I was an obsessed Adam and Joe fan when I was at university. And so you can go listen to it on my YouTube channel. It's not monetized. You're not paying me anything. Just give me the loves. But yeah, so I think, I'm the Queen, hello, mate. A bit northern. That's fun.
How northern?
Well, like. A bit northern. It's got northern inflections.
Okay.
Do you want to start or shall I?
I don't mind.
I think you've got quite a comprehensive rundown of who the Queen is.
It's very comprehensive. I've got 37 facts about the Queen.
Please go into them. And then we'll get into the wedding later.
Some of these, not all of them, could definitely be punctuated with the phrase, fuck off, I'm the Queen.
All right.
Because she's got weird status, unusually. Okay. So
I might drop a few of the fuck off, I'm the Queen's in there.
So you do that when you think it is warranted. Her full title, like we talked about Harry not having a surname.
Yes.
But he has Windsor if he wants to use mm-hmm. it. The Queen actually doesn't officially use a surname. She doesn't need to. But do you want to know her full title?
I would love
to. This is very Game of Thronesy. Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith.
Oh, that's very good. Defender of the Faith is the one I always remember, and it is. I mean, unfortunately, the faith she's defending is Anglicanism, which is slightly dull. If it was like...
In terms of all the terrible religions, it's one of the less... aggressively terrible.
She is a pretty chill version.
Well, this is the Eddie Izzard routine, is like, it's cake or death.
Yes,
if
exactly.
Anglicanism had the Spanish Inquisition, it would be like cake or death.
Defender of the cake or death.
She was born at 2:40 a.m. on the 21st of April 1926 to King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, who we refer to as the Queen Mum.
And we have to call it the Queening Hour now.
Is the Queening
2
Hour.
2 a.m. is the Queening Hour.
The place where she was born is now a Hakkasan restaurant.
It's now a what?
Hakkasan.
What's Hakkasan?
Hakkasan's a very, very lovely high market Cantonese restaurant.
Well, it makes sense that the Queen would have been born in what became a Hakkasan.
A Chinese restaurant.
Do you think they've got a special table where they think the Queen was born?
On a Lazy Susan. You span the Queen around.
Just a little...
The Queen is here!
They've all got Lazy Susans, but one of them's got a crown in the middle.
Some
and
royal baby roulette.
Put your ice on top.
Hopefully with like a nice little plaque to commemorate it.
You'd hope so. Blue plaque on a Lazy Susan. That'd be brilliant.
She was crowned Queen on 2nd of June 1953, aged 27.
Have you looked much into whether that's early or late?
In relatively speaking to other monarchs?
Yeah.
I think it's probably quite late, because obviously a lot of... But that's why she's so good, because she's still become the longest reigning monarch.
Yeah.
Even though she came to it quite late.
She's like the Jamie Vardy of monarchs.
Obviously, she's benefiting from modern medicine and nutrition.
Yeah. I read a whole article I'm not going to talk about beyond this, but I'm glad I get to at least mention it so I didn't waste my time completely, about why all the royals look so good for their age. And it wasn't just money, which it should have been, but yeah, it just went into all their different routines. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, people living better. It's like... Apparently Napoleon wasn't small for his period. It's just because of nutrition in that period, and people just
were small,
and people just don't remember the other people that were in Napoleon.
Weird that.
She's the longest reigning monarch ever. She's eclipsed now Queen Victoria.
Hey!
And I think I'm more impressive because she came to it, 27. You know, she didn't find her feet till her late 20s. What? I was like that. Didn't get my job at IGN until I was 26.
Do you think? I genuinely think the idea of the Queen. Being like, I think people think she's quite intelligent. She's not a stupid queen.
No, we'll get onto that as well. Like, she's done some stuff, mate. She's done some stuff.
Do you think she's benefited from the fact that she had a relatively normal life? Relatively speaking, normal life.
She did something else first. She was not being queen since she was 12. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. She wasn't just thrust into, you're like, a person of state.
Maybe
forever.
Get onto it later with when she married, when she got together with Prince Philip. Like, they had a bit of a life before they had to be the couple.
Yes.
They lived in another country for a couple of years.
Did you know she's only been pictured in trousers 8 times? That was a fact I found out about her.
That's brilliant.
Only 8 times in her life.
Jeggings.
From childhood as well.
Jeans.
Mostly jodhpurs.
Oh, I love to see her in some like mum jeans.
In the 70s, she had some quite cool like flary trousers. Not flares, but like big wide leg trousers.
On her wedding day, I think she looks quite pretty.
She looks lovely.
Right, she's outseen 14 UK prime ministers and 13 US presidents.
Now that is the first genuine fuck off, I'm the Queen.
She's going to outsee Trump, don't you worry. This is brilliant. As a princess, she drove a truck and trained as a mechanic in World War II.
Oh, yes, please. I had no idea.
Go on, Liz. She trained as a mechanic in World War II.
You reckon she still fixes the Range Rover?
I wouldn't, in a weird, like, posh person way.
Yeah.
Yeah?
like in nice wellies.
Yeah.
Hunter's wellies.
There's something of the countryside to that, I think.
Yeah, there is. Philip can't do shit about that either. She's just like, sit down. You can get the jack out, but you can't use it.
It's my Range Rover.
Exactly.
Apparently, when we won the war, the Queen, then a princess, went out to London in secret and partied all night with her sister Margaret.
It's the subject of that quite bad-looking film.
Yeah, it has been adapted.
Is it? A Royal Night Out? I think that's a Royal Night. It looks silly.
Back with a kebab.
Because it's her and Princess Anne being like gadabout teenagers.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It'd be weird, like the Queen was the Queen in the 60s, in swinging 60s London.
I bet she had some great times.
I bet she's done some stuff.
She's ever done acid?
Queen?
Yeah.
The Royal Acid?
I bet she could.
Fortnum & Mason's
She'd
acid.
Get away with it, because what's she going to do? She locks herself in a room for 3 days, absolutely tripping balls, and then comes out.
We're going to get into that in a minute. She can get away with whatever she fucking wants.
Yes, please.
Right, whales, dolphins, porpoises, and sturgeons are considered fishes royal. I don't know why they say fishes, because plural of fish is fish.
Also,
fish royal.
Whales, dolphins, and porpoises, none of which are fish.
No. Anyway, are therefore considered property of the Queen when caught within 3 miles of the UK coast.
Fair play. I didn't know that was true. Imagine a whale, like, migrated for thousands of miles.
He was born, like, in Alaska.
He gets 3 miles into the coast. It's like, oh, what? I'm the Queen's now. I could destroy the Queen.
He's just like, he swims 3 minutes, like, you're mine now. It's just, you're my porpoise now.
Look, get in my van.
Get in the carriage now. She sent an email in 1976 from a British research facility.
Yes, please.
She probably sent one of the first emails in the world.
Her and Berners-Lee absolutely kicking off the revolution.
So you think she's like just, you know, an old lady. Mm. She's on email before you were probably born.
Before some of your parents were born, mate. Because we've got some young listeners, I reckon.
You're not going to like this one.
What?
Apparently she's an Arsenal fan.
Oh, F off the Queen. That's not fuck off, I'm the Queen. That's fuck off, Queen.
She's worth around £340 million.
That is much less than I thought.
And the last 2 years, she's failed to make the Sunday Times rich list, top 300 wealthiest people in the country.
Last 2 years, she also failed to pay quite a lot of tax.
Ah.
Oh.
So she's quite modest. Oh, God, I'm jumping around here. Where's this one? She doesn't have to pay income or capital gains tax, but she has been doing so voluntarily since 1993.
Well, then apparently. What's all this stuff about her not paying tax, then?
Well, apparently she doesn't have to. So maybe she's just got another year off.
Yeah, but it's not really cool to say you're going to and then not do it. Like,
I think that very much is, fuck off, I'm the Queen.
Yeah, a little bit. It falls into that category, but not in a way that I'm excited by.
I think also that applies to the next three, but I think you'll be more on board with these next three.
All right,
three.
Let's go.
She's the only person in the UK allowed to drive without a licence.
No way!
Yeah, she does not need a driving licence.
What?
So all those pictures you see her in, like, headscarf, but, like, really behind the wheel of a massive Range Rover. Yep. She doesn't know what she's doing.
She can fix the car, she can't bloody drive it.
Doesn't need a passport to travel internationally.
I've heard about that.
That is
brilliant. Yeah, when you've got stamps of yourself, coins, multiple countries.
Money in their country.
Exactly, yeah.
She has her own ATM in Buckingham Palace.
That's just, what?
It's just dispensing her face.
Right, that's genius. If you had £340 million, of course you'd put an ATM in your house and you'd just be like, what? 500 quid? Not a bother. Throw it everywhere. I bet it's one of those ones that dispenses fivers as well, so she can get loads of
new fivers. Oh, I love it. Isn't it amazing when you get a fiver from a cash machine?
I reckon it's got like a parcel slot sized output as well. Like it's not the normal, like a few measly notes. It's like an absolute wadge.
I love it if it was like, it's £1.75. Do you want to proceed with this transaction? She's like, yeah, I'm the Queen.
It's like when you see a rich builder go into a pub and they pull out their money clip.
The wadge.
Yeah. She's got that.
He's never paid tax.
No way. I used to serve a lot of them in the White Horse in Burnham Green. Tax men, go there.
She's left a message on the moon.
What does that mean?
So when
with gunfire.
With a laser she made. No. the crown opens up and it's got a little laser and she engraves the moon on a nightly basis.
I love the idea that the crown opens up like it's an enclosed hat.
Yeah, it's like Thunderbird. That's where Thunderbird 7 is.
It's actually a remodeled Tracy Island toy. Yeah.
I saw Anthea Turner made one.
Gold-plated it.
So when Apollo 11 went, they took something to leave on the moon that has messages from leading world dignitaries, and the Queen was one.
That's good. Well done to her.
She can't be prosecuted or compelled to give evidence in court.
What?
So there's a statement.
So she could do anything?
I think she could kill.
So, I mean, I suppose she's the Queen.
She can't be prosecuted or compelled to give evidence in court. So there's a statement on the official royal website in relation to this old statue. It says, although civil and criminal proceedings cannot be taken against the sovereign, the Queen is careful to ensure all her activities in her personal capacity are carried out in strict accordance with the law.
Well, that's like humans. That's what but people also like, do.
Also, like the modifier, personal capacity.
Interesting.
Implying that in her official capacity, she's doing illegal shit.
Interesting. Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, she's not paying tax. I know that's legal for her, but... It's extra legal, isn't it? It's just not covered by the law.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the Queen accidentally running someone over and then fleeing the country, because it would be like absolute triple header of things that don't matter. She's killed someone, can't be prosecuted for it, she's not driving with a licence, and she's just left the country without a passport. She can do whatever she likes.
She can do what I want. She's like, how much money she got? Well, she's printed it off all in her house. It's not even an ATM, it's just a printer.
She's gone to the Caymans, doesn't even matter. She's not paying tax anyway. Brilliant.
She's like the ultimate Richard Kimball.
She's like a ghost. She's a ghost in the machine, except for the fact that she's everywhere.
A lot of this would sound like she's a secret agent.
Yeah.
She owns a 3-bedroom luxury property in New York near the UN. I don't really think of the Queen being in New York.
No, it seems wrong.
Seems odd, doesn't it? I imagine her in Holyrood.
Yeah.
Or Balmoral. Or...
At best, I imagine her like in Bel Air. Yeah. I can imagine her in Bel Air.
You think?
Yeah, because it's like those are big... proper mansions.
Yes.
New York
I
don't think of as mansions.
No, I can't imagine her having apartment living.
Because near the UN, because like, what's the posh place near New York? The Hamptons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can imagine her in the Hamptons. Not in New
York. Yeah, of course you can imagine that.
Not in New York!
This is a good fuck off on the Queen. Reportedly, she drinks a glass of champagne every night before bed.
She's going off.
Every night.
Every night. She's like one of those old people who's like, what do you put down to your health? Cigarette and beer every day.
Yeah, it doesn't do me any wrong. She wears Eddie's classic pale pink polish ballet slipper and has done since 1989, and it's only a fiver.
She wears the same £5 slipper every day?
No, polish. Nail polish.
Oh, polish.
It's called ballet slipper.
Oh, I see. Right.
That would be mental. Yeah. She's wearing the same £5 ballet slipper every day. So she's worn this nail polish since 1989. It's only a fiver.
Fair play to her.
So that's good.
A fiver in 1989 is quite a lot, though.
She communicates via her handbag.
Excuse me? Is that like a vase in Scooby-Doo where you scream into it and then you put a stopper in it?
Let me expand on that. She communicates. So anytime you see the Queen at a function or at an event, watch her handbag closely, Joe. Apparently she uses it to signal to her entourage when she's bored or wants an evac.
No way.
Apparently she places it on the table. She wants to leave in the next 5 minutes.
Whoa.
If she puts it on the floor, she wants immediate evac because she finds her present conversation quite tedious.
Oh, my God. Why do people know that? Why is anyone allowed to know that?
I feel like it's like someone who used to work and has come out and revealed that.
Because if I met her...
If she put it on the floor, I'd be mortified.
I'd be horrified. And if she put it on the table, I'd be like, well, I'll wrap it up at least. It's kind of like in an interview, giving
the
hand signal.
Yeah, it's like, come on, getting towards the end.
Yeah.
Immediately just on the floor. So if she ever meets Trump... Watch that back.
That would be amazing. Imagine if she did it and looked right into the cameras.
Oh, this is a good one.
How many more have we got?
We're on number 23.
Oh, I'm loving this.
I've not put them into an... They're all good, you see. Right, yeah. Okay. I might just save that one, though. She became a homeowner when she was 6.
Pretty good.
Piss off on the
Queen.
Pretty
good.
She owns an elephant, 2 giant turtles, a jaguar, and a pair of sloths.
What, do you know any of their names?
I don't know any names, but she's donated them all to the London Zoo.
Release them into the wild, mate.
Keep them in, give them rooms in Buckingham Palace.
I mean, that would be much better. You'd be a proper. You know, I don't think you're even a real monarch until you've got an elephant in your house.
I think not. She's not above going kind of like occasionally. She does go out in public with relatively low security, and like when she's in Scotland and places, like don't think she's going to go around Buckingham Palace or Oxford Street.
You'd guess not.
But there's a good story of her trolling some tourists on a recent low-key trip to Scotland. She met some American tourists while walking. She's just dressed in like fairly regular old woman clothes, headscarf.
Yeah,
and they asked her, "Oh, just I've heard the Queen has a house around here." And the Queen replied to these tourists, these American tourists, she went, "Oh, yeah, the Queen does have a house nearby." And when they asked her if she'd ever met the Queen, she pointed to her personal policeman and go, "No, but he has."
She's like Bill Murray. That's like when Bill Murray runs up to people and says, "They'll never believe you."
Isn't that brilliant? She, in her lifetime.
Wait, who told that story?
It actually went, I kind of went through and. It's a couple of years ago. It's in a lot of papers. This American couple told this story that happened to them.
That's amazing if it's real.
I hope it's real. In her lifetime, because obviously she's part of just a massive organization that have probably tracked every aspect of her professional life. Mm. In her lifetime as queen, she's answered over 3.5 million items of correspondence.
How is that possible?
Well, people doing it on her behalf.
Yeah.
But.
Does that mean she's had to put a signature at the bottom of all of them?
Maybe.
She must have a very tired wrist.
Oh, a text message I haven't replied to. She's owned over 30 corgis. The first one was called Susan.
Oh, that's
Susan
good.
Susan the corgi.
There's something about a dog with a human name.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I'm a big fan of that. Prince George, Will and Kate's son, apparently calls her Gangan.
Oh, that's nice. I read a news story.
Grow up.
That, well, quite literally, do grow up.
Let's talk.
Prince George, the headline was Prince George is obsessed with the police. But
what?
Actually what it is he just wanted a police car for Christmas and then like enjoyed talking to a policeman recently.
Oh,
but there's something really,
that's really cute.
There's something very funny about the prince being obsessed with the police.
Like, he's got a good position. Like he's surrounded by them.
Yeah.
He can ride as many police cars as he wants.
He's absolutely loving it.
In 3 months in 1977, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of her coronation, Elizabeth went on 6 tours that took her through 36 counties in the UK and Northern Ireland. She went on a nationwide tour.
That's pretty good.
In the same year,
she's like a touring, she's like a circuit comedian.
She's like a rock star, mate. In that same year, her travels continued overseas to countries including Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and several others. She did 56,000 miles that year.
Is Papua New Guinea a Commonwealth country? Because I was going to say, like, Australia, New Zealand,
yeah.
Makes sense. Papua New Guinea,
probably. Maybe she, like, acquired it on that visit.
Is that our one? Is that one of ours?
That's 56,000 miles. In her lifetime, she's been overseas more than 260 times.
Carbon footprint.
Well, actually, we'll get on to that. She sent over 45,000 Christmas cards.
Yeah, fair play. So have I.
She speaks fluent French.
No, she doesn't.
Speaks fluent French and has done since a child when she had several French and Belgian nannies.
Fair play.
And when she's been to France, she speaks fluent French with all the people that she meets.
That's cool as hell.
That is really cool, isn't it?
Je voudrais une baguette.
Yeah.
That's what she says.
Yep. That's the only thing she says. She was a sea ranger.
What does that mean?
It's a branch of the Girl Scouts that specializes in naval.
What?
I was going to say warfare, not warfare. Like sailing and stuff. But it sounds cool, doesn't it?
It's marine brownies.
If you go on the official Royal Family website, and obviously. I was looking around that a lot today. It was kind of funnily the first time I've done that.
It's weird that it exists.
And. On the nav, the top thing is, as you imagine, the Queen.
Yeah.
You go to that. In her biog, it's broken down into, like, early years. And it just ends with, she was also a Sea Ranger.
Yes, please.
That sounds
wicked.
Cool.
It's like, Mechanic and Sea Ranger.
What was it called? Texas Ranger. That TV show. It's like, Elizabeth, Sea Ranger.
It's like she's a Pinkerton in the Old West.
She's trying to stop climate change. She started a new initiative to plant trees. I saw a clip where she was walking around the grounds of Buckingham Palace.
Her and David Attenborough. It's lovely, that clip.
And it's really funny because they come across a tree that looks really shit and bent over. And the Queen just goes, looks like someone sat on it.
And David Attenborough absolutely loses it.
It's really funny.
You would.
It's also like that. I mentioned this on a previous podcast. I do urge you to Google it or YouTube it. The Queen seeing cows and getting really excited at seeing
the
cows.
I still haven't watched that.
Cows!
I saw Tatler, and let me tell you, Tatler is a difficult publication to get by on. I don't like them.
So Tatler, for years and years when I was younger, I thought it was like a jazz mag.
I thought it was like...
'Cause it sounds like porn.
I thought it was like National Lampoon or something like that.
So I thought it was like... wait, it just sounds rude.
Tatler. Yeah. So yeah, it's like Razzler.
Yeah, that's why I thought that. Yeah.
But it's like the High Society magazine. Yeah, it's where I learned about Baron von Westenholtz.
Yeah.
But that is what he's called.
Is Tatler the magazine that had that incident with the dog?
Oh, I don't know. What's that?
The sausage dog in London. Have you ever heard this story?
No.
I think it is Tatler. If not, I think it is in the building. Who owns? Is it Condé Nast?
It probably is. They're one of them.
Forgive us on the details.
Yes.
But this story is right in the abstract. It's a story of a work experience working at Tatler magazine.
Right.
And one of the duties she was given, or he was given, on the job was to take the editor's little Dachshund sausage dog out for a walk.
Yeah.
And in the reception of Tatler, they have a revolving door. And so the work experience goes out of the revolving door. The sausage dog does not fully, and has its head severed.
No! What?
So the person just walks out, and then the lead just suddenly becomes very free, looks behind her, and she's decapitated a sausage dog's head.
The editor of Tatler.
Yeah.
They're not going to be nice about it.
No.
I just wanted to point out that Tatler have an article... And a completely insufferable article called The Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh's Best Bay Moments. And it made me want to be sick. But there was one very good picture of the Queen. Absolutely. Like, you know, you've seen the Queen smile. Like, you know, there's that whole thing about how monarchs never smile. Yeah. You've seen her smile quite a lot.
It's because, like, so many photos of her that you probably never smile that much.
There's an image of her absolutely losing it laughing. And it is the weirdest picture, because you just look at it like, that's not right. It's like she's a different woman.
Yeah,
it's very strange. Well,
it's nice when you see that, because like, much easier to like just relate to someone as a human being
when they're going off.
Yeah. And that's why I left this one to the end.
Yeah.
Apparently she could do an amazing impression of a Concorde jet landing.
What? So, she Rhys Darby.
Apparently she's quite a talented mimic.
Right, so, who's telling that story?
So according to Bishop Michael Mann, not the man who made Heat.
Bishop Michael Mann and
Queen Elizabeth II's private chaplain.
Obviously.
Said the Queen imitating the Concorde landing is one of the funniest things you could ever see.
Honestly, the Queen imitating anything would be funny whether she was good at it or not. Like, that would be absolutely weird.
So there you go.
That was brilliant.
There you go.
Oh, I loved that.
Go on, Liz.
You want to hear a bit about her formal consent for the marriage of Harry and Meghan?
I'd love to.
Because we just turned into a Queen podcast, which I'd love, because she seems great. But apart from the whole tax shebang that we need to look into, as we pointed out, this mostly comes from Hello, and it's a very interesting thing. A, because you learn about, once again, how the Queen has all the power and none of the power. And also... we'll get onto it, but a very strange piece of royal weddings, which is called the Instrument of Consent, which isn't as weird and unpleasant as it sounds. Right, so this is from Hello magazine. The Queen officially gave her consent for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle to wed during a Privy Council meeting with a declaration which read, "I declare my consent to a contract of matrimony between my most dearly beloved grandson, Prince Henry Charles Albert David of Wales..." As we know.
My most dearly beloved.
My most dearly beloved grandson. And Rachel Meghan Markle, which consent I am causing to be signified under the Great Seal and to be entered in the books of the Privy Council. So the Privy Council, when the engagement is accepted by the engagee, they then have to sort of ratify that this is allowed. And the Queen does that. Which is interesting. I didn't know that was a thing they had to do. But I suppose it makes sense, like back in the old days, you need, because when they're more governmentally important, that's a big deal. But this is really interesting. Since the announcement, it's been reported that the Queen may have subtly undermined Meghan by simply using her name. When it was reported that when she gave her permission for Prince William to tie the knot with Kate Middleton, she described her as our trusty and well-beloved Catherine Elizabeth Middleton. Also, trusty. That's a weird word.
Trusty sounds like some like shit council
thing. Like a spiv. Yeah. Trusty.
So what did she refer to Meghan as?
Just Rachel Meghan Markle.
Oh.
She didn't
no
give her any nice compliment. However, this is interesting. We can confirm, this is hello, that Kate was only described as trusty and well-beloved in the instrument of consent, which comes closer to the actual wedding day.
Oh.
While the Privy Council declaration for Prince William and Catherine was almost word for word the same as Prince Harry and Meghan, reading, I declare my consent to a contract of matrimony between my most dearly beloved grandson, Prince William Arthur Philip Louis of Wales.
Oh, he gets the same, my most dearly.
Yeah. And Catherine Elizabeth Middleton. As such, it is thought that a more personable message will appear in the instrument of consent, as it did with William and Catherine. So I'm actually quite looking forward to seeing how she describes her. Because
she was wicked in suits.
Because trusty is like...
Trusty
implies like a long relationship, which I don't think her and Meghan have had.
Maybe it's whereas an archaic thing. Maybe it's a... Maybe I wonder if it's a bit of terminology that is typically used in this...
Yeah. But it's interesting.
Construction.
But the instrument of consent is... quite cool. Have you seen it?
No.
The instrument of consent, I'll show you and I'll link what? To it. It's this. It's like this cool looking medieval style certificate that they put out before the wedding.
So it's that thing where the first letter of the paragraph is very ornate and it's like massive and it's a picture.
What's that called?
It's got a word on it.
Stand first?
Don't know.
Can't remember. A drop cap is what it's called in magazine parlance. But I don't think they'd call it a drop cap when it's a big lion with a shield.
Oh, the Queen's just done a drop cap.
But this is what the instrument of consent is. And I think this is genuinely just an interesting bit of fact stuff. Bound by 18th century law, the Queen... I can't remember who wrote this. I don't care. The Queen signed an elaborate notice of approval, referred to as the instrument of consent, to officially recognise the marriage. This is of Will and Kate, because they haven't done this for Harry and Meghan yet.
Right.
The Prince was required to ask his grandmother's permission under the Royal Marriages Act of 1772, which rules that all descendants of George II... I couldn't quite see why it had to be since George II, but... must obtain the sovereign's agreement before they marry. Without the Queen's consent, the marriage would be void. It reads, and this is, again, William and Kate's. Now know ye that we, capital W, we, have consented and do by these presents signify our consent to the contracting of matrimony between our most dearly beloved grandson, Prince William Arthur Philip Louis, or Lewis, I'm not sure, probably Louis, of Wales, KG, I don't know what KG is, except the guy from Tenacious D, and our trusty and well-beloved Catherine Elizabeth Middleton. The most official of all royal wedding memorabilia, the instrument of consent features decorative artwork chosen by the artist to represent the groom and bride-to-be.
Hmm.
So you can see on
here. Oh, yeah.
Have a look at this whilst I talk about it. And again, we'll link to this. We'll put it in the podcast description.
Is this Queen's actual signature at the top?
I think it is, yeah.
Lovely.
Elizabeth R.
Is that Regina?
Yes. A white lily embodies St. Catherine of Siena, whose feast day falls on April 29th and with whom Miss Middleton shares her name. Beneath it, a Welsh leek surrounded by William's white three-pronged second in line to the throne label, which I didn't know was a thing.
Wow.
Which represents Prince William alongside a tiny red shell from the Spencer family arms.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Like... it is lovely and ornate, and it looks quite medieval. It is mad. You just drawn a picture of a leek.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess.
Like, it's not nicely designed.
No, not at all. Like,
that's why it looks like a bit old fashioned, like medieval. It's like before maybe certain modern design principles came into pass.
It's also odd that like on this incredibly official and you know
what's that mad dragon just doing there?
That's for Wales, isn't it?
I know why, but it looks
it's in the wrong place. But on this like 18th century document. Of like serious importance in a kind of constitutional sense. Why is the artist getting to choose all this stuff?
He could
do anything.
Yeah.
He or she. I apologize.
Oh, imagine for Meghan if he did a little poop emoji.
For the cat cat.
Yeah.
The heraldic symbol of a red dragon depicts Wales, and the UK is present through the three floral emblems, the rose, thistle, and shamrock. The instrument also shows William's blue and gold Order of the Garter Belt and a large gold E for Elizabeth. But that's the instrument of consent. I thought that was a really interesting little weird piece of British madness that we have to do.
It is an odd thing. If you follow Windsor Not Pod on Twitter, we'll tweet out a picture of it.
Yeah.
As Wales got mugged off with this bouquet. Because there should not be a daffodil on that. Or is that not an official... I suppose they've got the entire leek on the other side.
Rose, thistle, and shamrock.
That's only doing three of your four.
Yeah.
But I guess
it's got
the
dragon
whole leek.
And leek.
Yeah, I know they are well represented, but it just feels...
It feels weird that they're not in the bouquet.
Yeah.
That is odd. I'd not thought about that.
Maybe ask Gav. What, it's got like a little belt on it as well. The bouquet's
that's
got like a
blue and gold Order of the Garter belt.
This is a mad looking thing.
Mental, innit?
Why has she signed it at the top?
Yes, weird as well. I also like by the Queen herself, signed with her own hand.
This is one of the 3.5 million things she's had to sign. Just, she's like, sorry, my hand wrecks.
She doesn't even give a shit that it's this. She's just like, oh, what is this? Oh, I don't care. Is it for someone who's turned 100?
Like at school when you did an hour exam, going, oh, my hand kills me. Out.
When you come back after summer holidays, you can't write anymore. that was a fun bit of observational comedy from your friends at the Windsor Not.
Join us after the break for a little ditty about plain food.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We were introduced actually by a mutual friend.
That was the break, and now you promised something about plain food.
Oh, isn't it small and not as nice as regular food?
Wonderful. I loved that. So you were going to talk about a different wedding entirely. The Queen's wedding.
The Queen's wedding, yeah. I thought we should go back and have a look at the Queen's wedding, because it's like, for all intents and purposes, it's been a very long-lasting marriage.
Is this with regard to, like, can we learn anything about the upcoming wedding from this?
I would like to say yes, Joe, but looking what I've researched, probably not.
Well, I'm
but
interested
there
anyway.
There is an interesting little story that's quite high stakes and dramatic included, embedded within my hastily cobbled together facts.
Is it when she ran someone over and fled the country?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's basically the plot of that film Red Sparrow. So Elizabeth met Prince Philip of Greece and Denmark in 1934 at the wedding. She met him at two other weddings.
Oh, sorry. Greece and Denmark?
Greece and... So his lineage goes back to the royal families of Denmark and Greece.
I knew he was Greek.
Yeah.
I didn't know
but that's the
Danish
thing that
well.
I've always known about him since a kid. He's going like, oh, he's Greek. Mm. No, he's at Denmark as well.
Weird.
At the wedding of Philip's cousin, Princess Marina of Greece and Denmark, to Prince George, Duke of Kent, paternal uncle of Elizabeth. And then they met again in 1937 at another wedding.
A meet cute.
So they met in 1934 and then 1937. After another meeting at the Royal Naval College in Dartmouth.
You've been watching Peep Show.
I've watched it every night, mate. In July 1939, Elizabeth fell in love with Philip, and they began to exchange letters.
What, after three or four meetings?
Well, it's like, yeah, like, also, she was 13 and he was 18.
No.
Is this all right?
I mean, actually, it's of the time. That was kind
Is
of
it?
It's kind of the same. Well, my grandparents were 17 and 27.
When they met. That's okay.
It's better.
That's better.
I think it's of
the time. It's a bit Edgar Allan Poe, this.
That is odd.
You should be marrying your 13-year-old cousin.
No, a bit weird.
I know you might have a lovely, happy marriage together, but
yeah,
she's your 30-year-old cousin. The Raven's a brilliant poem. They are second cousins once removed, and also third cousins.
That's all right legally, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So I never remember what second cousins actually mean. So if you're unsure what second cousins once removed means, it means one person's great-grandparent is the other person's great-great-grandparent.
Weird.
That's what the once removed means.
Oh.
Second cousins would be you share a great-grandparent.
Right. You can be second cousins in different ways, though, can't you? I think there's multiple different ways to be second cousins.
I don't know. I don't have that information.
That's fine.
And they're also third cousins. That means they share great-great-grandparents.
Right.
So when it's not removed, it is parity on both sides.
Yeah.
So first cousins is you share the same grandparent.
They're probably pretty far apart, basically.
Yeah. He would have been... Yeah, sorry. I just said he would have been... I've just got a little note going. He would have been 18. Is that all right? I've covered that.
I love that you were so outraged whilst researching this.
Sound indignant. Apparently, the couple became secretly engaged in 1946 when Philip asked King George VI for his daughter's hand in marriage.
That's not becoming secretly engaged.
I think from the public...
Oh, I see, right.
He's done a crap job of it. The king granted his request, providing any formal engagement was delayed until Elizabeth's 21st birthday, which is the following April.
Oh, wait, they were going out for ages?
Yeah.
Weird way of putting...
Seeing each other at an occasional royal wedding on the continent.
And sending some letters.
So, to come married to the Queen, who wasn't the Queen at the time, sorry, Princess Elizabeth, Philip renounced his Greek and Danish titles as required by the Act of Settlement, 1701, converted from Greek Orthodoxy to Anglicanism, and adopted the style Lieutenant Philip Mountbatten, taking the surname of his mother's British family.
Ah.
So, that's why he doesn't have, any Greek or Danish-sounding names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
See, that converted his entire self.
Was he, a proper bad boy? Because I know he's grown up into, the questionably...
I actually did think about doing that on this episode. And I thought, is it a bit low-hanging fruit?
Well, it's also... We're talking about the Queen, not him.
Yeah. I don't know if people who listen to this podcast in other countries or, Prince Philip, the thing you know about him growing up in this country is he has a record of saying mad stuff at public events.
Mostly racist.
Racist or insulting or just very short.
Yeah.
I did look at some before we came in here and there's some great ones. It's just an old dude who can't be arsed doing this shit.
Yeah.
And there's a great one where it's just when he's opening something, he just goes, "What the fuck is this?" And he goes, "Can you hurry up and take the photo, please?"
He just doesn't give a shit.
Well,
and sometimes that includes not giving shit about social niceties.
The one that really got to me as someone who grew up as a fat kid is when he met the kid who wanted to be an astronaut and he went, "You better lose some weight if you want to do that."
Oh my God.
Sorry, what was your question? Was he a bad boy?
Oh, just I'm interested as to whether he grew up into a difficult old man or whether he was always I bet he was, to me, it sounds like he was a rager. He's proper Prince Harry type.
He's on the continent at 18 getting letters from the future Queen of England. I don't know what he's doing in Europe when he's 18, but he's probably marry the Queen of England at some point.
She's a keeper.
Got her on the side.
Queen as a side piece.
Yeah, I haven't checked her message. I haven't given her two blue ticks.
Philip, you dog.
So she married Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, at Westminster Abbey at 11:30 a.m. on November 20th, 1947. She had eight bridesmaids and two page boys. The ceremony was recorded and broadcast by BBC Radio to 200 million people around the world.
That's five times less than the World Cup final, so... Yeah.
Come on, Queen.
Five times less than even the Man United-Man City game that we watched yesterday, so...
And on radio.
Come on.
Honeymoon was at Broadlands in Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where we get to a very dramatic incident on the day of the royal wedding. I should say, I've never watched The Crown.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder
Neither
if,
have I.
Did, I wonder if this has not been. I don't know if they're married yet in The Crown.
Do you think loads of people are going to stop listening to us because we don't watch The Crown?
Maybe.
I think so. When
I tell American
people
I don't, I've never watched an episode of Downton Abbey.
Same as. Why would you? It's not for us.
Living it, mate. So on the day of her wedding, she was going to wear a tiara that was made in 1919 for Elizabeth's grandmother, Queen Mary. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a lovely interpretation of the Russian kokoshnik, which is a very popular style fashionable among the Romanovs just before the Russian Revolution. So apparently, Elizabeth really loved this tiara. And it was passed down to her mum, our queen mum. Mm-hmm. And the queen mum gave it to Liz on her wedding for a wedding day as there was something borrowed.
Oh, wow.
On the morning of the
wedding. Borrowed from the Romanovs, who all were killed.
Oh, just in the style of the Romanovs.
Oh, sorry. I'd not paid enough attention there.
On the morning of the wedding, as the hairdresser was securing the veil, the anti-metal frame snapped. The Queen Mother tried to calm down Liz. She went, Liz, it'll be all right.
Chill out.
We have 2 hours and we've got loads of other tiaras.
You're a qualified mechanic. Just weld it.
Pull yourself together. No, Liz wanted that one. She was insistent. So a police escort took the court jeweller, who was on standby, to a local workshop, and he welded it. And if you look at a picture of the Queen on the wedding day, you can see there's a slight gap between the central fringe and the spike to the right. There's a little bit irregular, but it'll do. It'll hold, he said.
Fucking hell.
So that all happened on the morning of her wedding.
That's pretty good.
Interesting little facts about Liz's wedding. The material for her wedding dress, she had to buy it using ration coupons.
That's wicked.
So it was designed by Norman Hartnell, but yeah, she still had to use ration coupons because this was just shortly after the Second World War.
Is it like when you see American TV programs and they've gone to an arcade and they've got like a loads of tickets out, like, of machines?
Well, I'm sure she could ask for more.
She's just wicked at skee ball.
She got a novelty mustache. She did her own makeup.
Yeah.
Nobody's had to pin her out with that.
That's
a qualified mechanic and sea ranger.
Fair play.
She did her own makeup. This is interesting because it was
£5 nail polish.
Because this happened in 1947, the wedding. So soon after the end of World War II, it was not acceptable for Duke of Edinburgh's German relations, including his three sisters, to be invited to the wedding.
Wow. That's legit.
I know. And this is
kind of like how Trump's not coming to this one.
Absolutely not. This is the quite nice thing that you were kind of alluding to. Between 1949 and 1951, they just lived in Malta for 2 years.
That's
as a married couple.
Wait, after she was crowned?
No, she was crowned in...
Of course, we're talking about the marriage, not the coronation. 53. Yeah, sorry.
So this is 2 years before she's the queen. So they had like 2 years just living in Malta together as a married couple.
Just
while he was stationed as an officer in the Mediterranean fleet. That sounds like a good posting.
Can't imagine he was doing a lot. Two
years of just like...
Hanging out in the Mediterranean.
It's
pretty good.
Fuck off.
That's how you imagine rich people living.
And they're the first couple in the royal family to celebrate 60 years of marriage.
Fair play.
Good on them, I say.
Yeah, they were right.
So I mean, maybe they can learn something there. Go to Malta for 2 years. Get to know each other.
Seems a bit like a nightmare, but...
Yeah, it works for them. Or there was also another terrible one I found that I hadn't heard before. Have you seen the one where he met the woman in the red dress with the zip?
No.
Oh, it's bad. This woman, he met her and she's wearing this red dress that had like a zip down the front. And he said, oh, if I unzip that, I get arrested.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not the queen, mate.
I should think so.
Your wife could do it.
But you think at that age, she's like, Philip, for fuck's
sake. Grow up. Oh, he's difficult work, isn't he? Well, I've got one last thing. You've done an amazing amount of research. You've put it together beautifully. I'm very, very impressed. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to read this out verbatim because there's nothing I could add to it that's going to make it better than it is. This is a segment from Andrew Morton's book, Meghan, a Hollywood Princess, which is sort of an unauthorized sort of biography, I think. And this is the this is called Secret of Crooked Finger.
What?
Meghan Markle rehearsed her tea drinking for her first meeting with the Queen.
Oh, this sounds like a Victorian Gothic story.
I know, that's why I loved it. Secret of Crooked Finger. This is part of the increasingly obvious culture of ludicrously florid writing about events that actually don't matter to anyone, including the people involved. But this is how Meghan met the Queen and what she did to support that meeting to make sure that she wasn't made fun of or whatever. And there's some, like, remember, this is all by Andrew Morton. I'm just reading it. Some of it's just a bit weird. It was the most important audition of Meghan's life. No rehearsal, no script.
Because she's an actress. Yeah, there you go. That's that electrical field.
No second takes. This was live and improvised. Bear that in mind for a bit coming later on. When she was driven in a black Ford Galaxy with darkened windows past... It's so unromantic. A black Ford Galaxy with darkened windows past the gates of Buckingham Palace on a drizzly autumn Thursday in 2017. The actress was about to give the performance of her career. Even though she's often said she is not a woman who gets nervous, don't think I've ever read that, she could be forgiven for being a tad dry-mouthed. She was about to meet the Queen for afternoon tea. Da-da-da. Meghan had quietly anticipated this moment. A few months before, she'd taken a secret excursion to Rose Tree Cottage, a little slice of England nestling in Pasadena in the suburbs of LA.
A little slice of England?
In Pasadena.
How far is Pasadena outside of LA?
I don't know. Suburbs.
I was thinking next time we're in LA, we should go check out a little slice
Rose
of
Tree
England.
Cottage. That's actually quite a good idea.
Yeah, we should like to do that.
Not only to buy English gifts, but to take afternoon tea. Right, remember the first bit where he's talking about how everything was live and improvised? Perhaps there'd been just a little rehearsing after all. It's like, it's two paragraphs later, mate. There's no point in creating that. Structure
that,
it.
That turn.
Yeah. It's like, you're not surprising
just,
us.
Your lead should be, she's rehearsed to meet the Queen.
Yeah.
That's a better
way
story.
Way more interesting.
I do love that, like, sometimes this podcast descends into us critiquing other people's writing.
We're just getting angry.
Yeah.
I like it. It's where Meghan learned to crook her finger as she held her cup and saucer and sipped her Earl Grey. Necessary skills to remember. She dropped a curtsy to her future grandmother-in-law. Dropped a curtsy doesn't sound like the right term. It sounds bad.
Oh, I dropped a curtsy.
Oh, God, I dropped a bloody curtsy right in front of the Queen. Any possible uncertainty about the outcome of this meeting lay not with Meghan. So none of this matters, but with the man she wanted to marry. He's the one who has been, if not on trial, then under intense scrutiny. This is someone filling pages. There's absolute bullshit here. If he'd come to see Granny a few years earlier, when he had an unenviable reputation as an angry drinker with poor judgment. An angry drinker. That sounds like the act of drinking is angry to me. Oh, just screaming into his pint as he downs it. Oh, this really makes me laugh. When he had an unenviable reputation as an angry drinker with poor judgment, here's where we get into classic Sun-style writing. It would have been doubtful the Queen would have agreed to him marrying a mixed-race divorced American actress. Yay!
Or Meghan.
Why? Yeah. Also, why are we implying that the Queen would have a problem with her race? Like, yeah. Nothing about the Queen to me suggests it. It's so weird.
I've just told you how well-travelled she is.
I know! It would have been a grim, unhappy confrontation, a former senior royal official told me. If anything, Harry's transformation over the last few years has, together with the popular union between Prince William and Kate Middleton, secured the future of the monarchy. Harry's impeccable behaviour when representing the Queen abroad and his commitment to the Invictus Games has been shrewdly watched and assessed by the Sovereign. The Sovereign. As a courtier told me, courtiers still exist. That's a thing.
That's cool.
The Queen trusts her grandsons. She has confidence in them in a way that she's never had with her eldest son. Just throw in shade at Charles halfway through this. They have really established themselves as being in touch with the public. William and Harry have star quality and are believable and authentic heirs to the monarchy. This is all a courtier's words. That's how they speak. During their one-hour meeting, Meghan witnessed the genuine respect and love Harry feels for his grandmother. She's an incredible woman, she said afterwards. After Harry and Meghan bade their farewells, they swiftly left the palace before the royal gossip factory was able to get in gear. Job done. Soon after, their engagement was announced. And that's Andrew Morton talking some balls.
Wow.
I love that it's like secret of crooked finger. Three paragraphs in, we're like, see you later. We're not talking about the tea anymore.
That's a great headline.
Secret
great
of Crooked Finger.
The Adventure of the Crooked Finger is a Sherlock Holmes story.
What I love is... Secret of Crooked Finger.
Yeah.
It sounds like a place.
Yeah.
Not a...
Yeah, like it's an old gothic mansion.
It's very strange.
Like...
Rubbish.
Rubbish. Because if you were meeting your fiancé's grandmother, I'd be nervous anyway.
Yeah, of course you would.
Whether it's the queen or not.
Grandmothers are scary.
Yeah.
They've got so much experience. They've seen it all before.
Especially if I was meeting my girlfriend's, my fiancé's grandmother, and she sent the world's first email.
Yeah, and she is on stamps.
And she's got a message on the moon.
She's got an ATM in her house. You look to your left, it's spewing out money with her face on it. And she's like, ignore that.
And she also goes by Liz, Sea Ranger.
Interesting side point before we get onto feedback. The odds have been slashed on the Queen abdicating this year.
I saw this.
So, apparently the Queen doesn't want to do the old classic dying thing while she's queen. And people think
that's kind of cool, I think.
And people think Camilla's readying herself to become
queen.
She's going
to go marry an American.
That'll be funny.
Too many times, Philip. Just too many times.
The male Wallace Simpson.
This is going to happen. Too many times, Philip. And she takes a shotgun to him.
Whoa!
Because she cannot be prosecuted criminally.
And do you know what they?
She vanishes.
Do you know what they call the case? What? Secret of Crooked Fingers.
And she's gone. And she's living in Pasadena in a little slice of England.
She's just going to the Rose Tree Cottage every day. Heard it was good.
Imagine if she's there. Oh, imagine that. The Queen disappears. Harry goes there one day when he's, you know, in LA with Meghan. Mm. And he sits down, gets a little cup of tea, and it's like the end of Dark Knight Rises. He's about to drink the tea, and he looks over, and he just sees the Queen just sat there
just
with
nods.
A new young LA boyfriend going, and he just puts the cup of tea down, and he just walks away because he knows she's now happy.
She's happy, yeah. That'll be good. I'd love that. Imagine the Queen really tan. Weird.
She's speaking French.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. That's how she'd get away with it. Yeah. I imagine this is the thing, though. She could totally upstage this wedding if, like, the day before she abdicates. Imagine. She's just like, nah, all eyes on me, baby.
She's dropped the crown.
Yeah.
Imagine that on the day, she just drops the crown.
Harry and Meghan just, oh, God, oh, my, grandma!
She's bombing it down the motorway. In a Range Rover, she's just pimped out
that's
herself.
So good. Oh, rims. She'd have crazy rims on it. Paid for them with ration stamps.
When was the last time you saw Grandma? She's got a welding shop in Pasadena.
She's like one of those places you have to go in to get resprayed in GTA.
It's called Queenie's.
Queenie's rim jobs.
Hey,
that's
hey,
not what
hey,
I meant. That's hey, not what hey, I meant.
Come on, mate. She's still the queen
that's
now.
That's not what I meant.
She's not abdicated yet. You behave yourself.
Sniper right. Firefighters
into some,
the studio.
Should we do some feedback? I'll do the first one. They're both similar. I think last week we referred to Thanksgiving as fake American Christmas.
Before we start, we should point out that we were told why we'd been talking about bee pollen when we were a bit pissed doing that podcast a few weeks back. It was Laura's email about Meghan's like breakfasting things. It was part of her acai bowls. So, yeah, we apologise for forgetting that because that's really bad. Both of us just being like, what are we talking about? And everyone else has listened to it going, oh, shut up, you idiots. We could have just listened back. It's very unprofessional of us.
Very, very, very. First bit of feedback.
Yes.
Is from Sam. And last week we referred to Thanksgiving as fake Christmas. And we were saying, like, what do Americans usually eat to distinguish the 2 days?
Yes.
So we've got this first one is Thanksgiving is usually turkey.
Yes.
And in America, Christmas is usually ham, which I didn't know. I did not know that at all.
Yeah, because I know Thanksgiving's turkey. That's a thing.
Yeah, I knew turkey was.
Yes, but we were talking about double turkey, weren't
thing.
We?
Yeah, I was like, double turkey within a month of each other.
Surely not.
Oh, come on, mate. It's not a big elaborate episode of Vicar of Dibley.
And they're right, it's ham.
But it's less about the food and more about who you're with, he says.
Oh.
As long as you're surrounded by the ones you love, it doesn't matter.
Is that not the same for Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
I thought that was when you're surrounded by the ones you love. And
or
you're
neither.
Thankful for it.
Or neither.
Yeah.
It's just about, I just hide in the kitchen.
Just eat turkey and ham.
Yeah. So that's what he says. He says ham.
That's kind of like our Christmas Day and Boxing Day.
Would you? Yeah, ham
Lots
is
of people
quite traditional.
Have ham on Boxing Day.
So when I'm older, if I have a family, I am going goose or duck.
Goose is good.
Which is more traditional.
Duck's hard though, man.
It's more traditional in the UK than turkey. Turkeys are actually relatively recent.
Yeah.
Because in Christmas Carol, it's a goose.
It's a goose, yeah. But duck, man, you've got to buy about 3 ducks to feed a family.
All right, I'll get a goose.
They're very fatty. That's why they float.
Oh, so good.
It's amazing, though. Oh, I had a duck katsu wrap the other day, and
we both did.
Blew my mind.
So Joe and I, on Friday, we went to Petticoat Lane Market, and we both got these wraps.
Yeah.
And they're brutally efficient at this stall.
It's like being attacked.
I felt assaulted after receiving my wrap. You tell the woman what you want.
She screams
in your face. And then
takes your money, undercharges.
They're doing about 10 at once. And it's like a conveyor belt of like 10 people working on one wrap.
But they're all screaming.
They're all screaming at you. And I was getting jostled about.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I didn't know whether to complain or be happy.
Well, I ate the wrap. I'm fine with it.
The duck in that was amazing.
They can do what they want to me. I'll have that wrap.
Go check them out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it's called. I think they're just called katsu wraps.
I think
they're
called,
Lane.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable.
You'll be able to hear them from miles off.
That's
screaming.
Fantastic. And it's just around the corner from the best sandwich shop in the world, Trade. So there you go. I don't know why we started talking about that.
Oh, I was hungry.
Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah, goose is a good call, though. Anyway, this is from Corey, and it's fake Christmas and Meghan Markle's, in quotations, fame. I sense some snark coming, but I haven't read it, so I don't know. Hello, I'm an American listener and really enjoy your podcast. I don't know why. Oh no, sorry, that's not about our podcast. I've read this wrongly. I don't know why, but the British monarchy has always been interesting to me, and I love your fun and casual, not stuffy, take on it, which is nice. I feel like we haven't planned for that, but I think that's just how we are.
That's just how I am.
We're just crazy guys.
Just casual.
It's also been great to listen to your podcast leading up to my first visit to the UK, from which I returned a couple of days ago. That's amazing. As I was listening today to the most... Oh, do we get into that? No, tell us where you went in the UK. I want to know. I'm always interested when people come for the first time, because it's a weird place. As I was listening today to the most recent episode, I laughed out loud at your labelling of Thanksgiving as fake Christmas. Looking back on it, quite disrespectful. That's a big holiday. And have decided that's what I'm calling it from now on. While in England, we were asked about Thanksgiving and why we have a small Christmas right before Christmas. So many people love it as it's a day to eat and watch American football. Fair play.
I don't have like an FA Cup final. Like, no. if that should be tethered. We could do that this year for the first time.
Oh, mate, that's really good.
Big mega day because that's the wedding as well.
Wedding,
Turkish food.
Wedding, Turkish food, and FA Cup final. Yeah. All right, yeah, we're on for that. Let's actually organise that after this podcast. We also get a 4-day weekend out of it. Fair play. Most people honestly use it as a chance to get out their Christmas decorations and begin Christmas shopping. But I'm in agreement. I think it's a pain. As a child, it was fun, but now as a wife and a mother, it's just another Christmas I have to cook and clean and shop for just a month before the real Christmas. And to answer your question, I don't know why... And to answer your question, I don't know anyone who has turkey at Christmas, because we've all just had it. I serve a beef tenderloin.
Oh! It sounds like you can do what you want in America. Land of opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. The streets are paved with beef tenderloin. And I think that's what most people do as well. Well, we heard ham as well. So.
Is that what the tenderloin is in San Francisco?
It's just a big old beef tenderloin that you're walking across. It stinks, doesn't it? Do you know why it's called the tenderloin? It's because it was a red light district. It's somewhere people had tenderloins.
Bloody hell. Rutting.
I think that might be an urban myth, but I think that's true. Beef tenderloin.
It's terrifying. It's a terrifying place.
I've never been. Beef tenderloin, I think, one of the most delicious looking raw meats.
Yeah.
You know that, like, it's like that long strip?
Yeah, yeah.
And it cuts really nicely into slices?
Yeah.
Don't really get it over here. I think a lot about raw meats. On another note, it always makes me laugh when I hear a bit about how famous Meghan was already, and so she'll be ready for her public life. I don't know anyone who'd heard of Meghan Markle or her TV show before she was engaged to Harry. Seriously, no one I know had a clue who she was or had even seen Suits, let alone... Or had ever seen Suits, let alone ever watched it. Which is the same thing, as far as I can tell. Maybe heard of Suits, let alone watched it. Thanks again for such an enjoyable podcast. Sincerely, Lady Corey of Bee Pollen and Elderflowers.
Oh, what a lovely title.
That sounds like it could be a Scottish place. Bee Pollen and Elderflowers.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a good email.
It's fantastic. Very, all-encompassing. I want to know where you went in the UK. I want to know if I'm right about why the tenderloin's called the tenderloin. Not just from you, Corey, but if you had the answers, that'd be great. And Suits, yeah. I only know one person who ever watched Suits, and it was the guy I live with, and he watches literally everything, so hard to tell whether it was famous or not. But I think he knew Meghan.
I definitely heard of it.
I'd heard of Suits. I'd not heard of Meghan Markle.
No, I haven't.
So, yeah. It is interesting that people just, like, automatically assume, oh, she was well famous.
Yeah, because you can be, like, a moderately successful actress and not be famous.
Yeah,
like, exactly. There's different tiers of fame.
She had the tig, though. It's pretty good.
That's it for this week's mailbag.
I hope you enjoyed our chat about the Queen. That's one of my favourite episodes.
It's a good film.
There was something very more learning than usual.
Yeah,
you're like, good at the learning.
We're wanting to like give people a lot of information about the Queen because she's done a lot.
She's a person. Well, that's it.
Obviously, a lot of that is by circumstance of being who she is, but done some quite cool things, and also like. Nice little old woman.
She seems all right. She's like,
she might not be.
She's
actually
kind of the opposite of Meghan Markle in a lot of ways. Literally everyone knows who she is, but no one really knows what she's like.
Yeah.
Whereas as soon as Meghan Markle became famous, everyone knew everything about her because it was all on a blog.
Like, I know like some people obviously have quite anti-royal views and stuff, but what a weird life.
It must be insane. I'm not saying it's right that we have people who are allowed to break the law as much as they want. I'm still not decided, but... You know, she didn't create it. She could have stopped it, technically.
This is a really weird version of the Truman Show.
Exactly. It is real-life Truman Show. You're born and suddenly everyone knows who you are and look at you all the time.
It's very strange.
It would be weird. I think she's dealt with it quite well.
If you want to email us, you can do so at show@windsornotpod.com. Following us on Twitter so you can see... What's the name of that thing?
The instrument of consent.
You can see that on the Twitter, Windsor Not Pod. We should remember to do that, otherwise you won't see it, and then we will lie to you.
I'm going to schedule that tweet now.
And then, once you've listened to this week's podcast, you go to iTunes, and you give it 5 stars.
Oh.
That is the agreement.
You got to.
Otherwise, just don't bother.
Otherwise, no. I think I've even told people to fuck off for not doing it before. And apparently you haven't. Maybe you have. I'm sorry.
Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym... For, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.